Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's enjoying some sunshine. No rain today. Beautiful day here in the Music City. Rain is coming?
That's what I hear.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll just enjoy today while it's here. This is what I know. You're going to tell us what you know. Twic time at 12:45. A pair of tickets to see Motley Crue. Hello. Def Leppard.
I'm playing right now.
Poison. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Nissan Stadium in late June, to be exact. That show is coming to Nissan Stadium. They've been selling out everywhere. Originally, Nashville was not even on their list, but they've been selling out stadiums all over the place, and Nashville was at it, so we will have a pair of tickets to give away to that. But you have to tell us what you know. That's coming up in about 40 minutes or so. You will have to call in and participate. Vince Ferrara, we are making contact with him. We talk to him every Monday from WNML. And, of course, I think he's coming back from his little venture down in Florida where he's been there over the holidays. He's from the Tampa area, so he got a chance to see family, got a chance to slide over to Jacksonville and cover Tennessee's bowl game and their miraculous win over Indiana, 23-22. And I think now he's making his way back to the state. Vinny, how you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm good, guys. Just getting a coffee jolt. And, continuing the trek back to Knoxville. Doing good. Hope you guys are.
Successful trip, right? Mama's cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And a bowl game and a win.
Yeah, definitely. The weather wasn't the best, but, hey, you know, no complaints. The temperature was chillier than anticipated, and, you know, it rained a lot in Tampa. But, you know, overall, not too much in the complaint department, so it went really well.
Chase and I got a chance. We were coming back from Dallas, and we got a chance to watch a lot of the game on the plane. And so we got to take in a lot of the game, especially a lot of the second half, and that's really when business picked up. As they say, I was floored at this stat. I saw this later on. I think it was maybe it was that night, but I think it was the next morning that Tennessee did what no Division I football team did all year, trailing by 13 with 6 minutes or less to go. Nobody had come back and won a game this entire college football season until that bowl game. Did you see that stat? Is that real?
Yeah, it was something like 470 some odd games of lack of comebacks. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I thought that surely someone had come back from 13 down in the last 5 minutes as many crazy games as you see in college football, but apparently not. That was wild for sure. Nobody saw it coming in that stadium, in that press box, or anywhere, I don't think.
Well, I've already admitted on the show, so I have no problems admitting it again. I looked at Chase and said, this puppy's over. The Tennessee's not winning this game.
We both felt that way.
I mean, there was just no reason to feel like they were going to win this game. In fact, when they punted that last time, that's when I think I officially said, well, this thing's not going to happen, and sure enough, it did. How did it happen? I mean, I know how it happened, but how were they able to pull this together, get that big touchdown, get an onside kick that looked so incredibly easy? Was Indiana fooled? I mean, my goodness, it doesn't get any easier than that. And, of course, to capitalize after recovering the onside kick and score right away.
Well, first of all, I think they were able to do it because this game was indicative of how the season has gone, right? On the deck and then somehow able to rally up and have the belief that they could get it done. So they needed that part of the equation, and they had that. So that was the beginning. The second thing is that I thought Indiana started to play off a little bit and play a little bit more passively defensively when they were having a ton of success. So I think that opened up a little bit of the underneath stuff they had been doubling Jennings a lot and just trying to force somebody else to beat them or beat them underneath. And Garantano had a little bit more time, and he was able to find Josh Palmer a couple of times. And then they got the running game going a little bit. It was just that drive, really. I mean, if you think about it, that first drive with about 5 minutes to go when they capped it off, 4 or 5 minutes to go, them punching that in just validated their belief that they could do it. And I think by Indiana playing soft a little bit, they also lost Daquan Jones on the drive, their best pass rusher. So that slowed them down a little bit defensively also. And then when they punched it in, the whole stadium, the team, everybody had even a greater height of belief. And then the onside kick, Tom Allen, Indiana coach, he admitted in the postgame that, look, they talked about that possibility. They didn't change to go hand team or anything, but he said, hey, this is something that could happen. Be ready for it. Tennessee had seen it on tape. They had practiced it 500-600 times, according to Pruitt and to Eric Gray. And it was the right time to call it. You could see it on Indiana's kickoffs that they were bailing. It took a lot of stones to call it in that situation, no doubt.
Ruh-roh. Did we lose Vinny? Did he get zapped?
See if he's still on there, guys.
By the Indiana football team?
We laughed about it on Friday's show. We were, because at that point, now we've gotten our luggage. Now we're headed home and we're listening. And I told you I was listening to the postgame show. Jeremy Pruitt was asked, you know, what went into the decision to do the onside kick. And without any hesitation, he said, because we were down a touchdown.
Did you practice it?
Yes, every week.
But I loved his tone too, where he was just like, every week. That's one of those plays that I feel like every team, you know, you're at the end of practice and you're tired and you're ready to go. It's like, all right, onside kick. Oh, coach, we got to do this. We never run this. But that's why you do it.
Yeah, most teams do practice that.
Yep. Every week. That's just a part of the special teams, everything you do to stay fresh on it.
By the way, it worked out. I know we're in NFL playoff mode, but a week from today will be national championship game, which I can't wait for. Vince Ferrara, I think, is back on the line with us. Vince, are you there?
Yeah, sorry if I dropped off. Who knows? Bad area, so apologize about that.
I don't remember where you left. We were kind of joking about you. I think you were talking about the onside kick. We were joking because at that point we were on our way home, and I admitted on Friday's show I got a chuckle out of listening to the postgame show, and Jeremy Pruitt was asked, you know, what went into the decision to onside kick it, and he said, we were down a touchdown. And then she said, do you practice that? He said, every week.
Yeah, Eric Gray said, as well as Pruitt, that they do it like they've done it like 500-600 times. And somebody asked Eric Gray, hey, when's the last time you recovered an onside kick? He's like, do it like every day in practice. So they just were waiting for the right moment to call it. And look, I think that speaks a lot to obviously the coaching staff's preparation, and including the assistant coaches, and then the attention to special teams, which is such a critical area. And Tennessee has been very good in special teams, and you know, it came in big in helping them win that ball game. So, you know, I think Tennessee. I also mentioned that it took an awful lot of stones, even if they practiced it for Jeremy Pruitt to make that call. I mean, that is not easy to do. I wouldn't think. And you know, he's evolved in that area too. His first year, I thought he was pretty conservative as a head coach, and to have just getting out of the half and you know, field goal decisions, things like that. He has been much more aggressive in year two, and I think a big part of that is he knows his personnel, and he knows his personnel will respond to him as they have this year.
I want to ask you about something else that I heard whenever I was listening to Jared Garantano and Jeremy Pruitt talk about. They made a point to keep bringing up the coaching staff. You're around the program. We're not. We're here in Nashville. You're there in Knoxville. You're around these coaches. And I know you're you guys are limited to your access and how much you can talk to them. But they went out of their way to keep bringing up this staff and how much these players and Garantano and others talking about how much they like to play for these coaches. What are they talking about? Give us a little bit more insight.
Well, I think there's probably a couple things in that. One, Jeremy Pruitt has talked about his staff pretty frequently during the year. So it's not the first time that he's bringing them up and just trying to give them attention. That's something that he's done a lot. Whether he's been asked about it or not, usually it's him volunteering it and just going there. Another thing is on that stage, probably an extra pat on the back for anyone that, you know, maybe was thinking about other jobs and wanted to show his appreciation for them. I guess it didn't pay off in terms of David Johnson, who went to FSU, but I think that could have just a subtle thing that would have been a factor. And then, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is shrewd enough, and a lot of coaches are, that they know what can impact recruits. And if he can talk about the development of players, how players will be prepared, and get that message out to recruits that still are having decisions, I think that can only help you, that it's more than just the head coach, that you're coming in here to be developed by everybody, by all your position coaches, coordinators, everything involved. So my guess it was all those factors involved, but it wasn't a new thing. Pruitt has praised his assistant coaches all season.
Let's come back and talk about Jarrett Garantano and his future on the other side, and more about the Vols' future. More with Vince Ferrara making his way back to Knoxville. He was down in Jacksonville covering that bowl game in Tennessee's 23-22 victory over Indiana. More with Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, next. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. It's Vince Ferrara. Every Monday joins us talking Tennessee athletics. They get it done in their bowl game. He's coming back to the state. He's been down in the state of Florida over the holidays in Tampa and in Jacksonville. I want to talk to you about Jarrett Garantano, because if you'd have told me several patches of this season, is he coming back? I have to choose yes or no. There's no doubt. If we were in Vegas at a table, I'm sliding my chips on no. Many, many times throughout the course of the season, he's been benched. We know his story. And he got benched again in this bowl game and came back and led him to victory. He got benched in the Kentucky game, led him back to victory. I would have thought that he's going to probably move on. But now I'm sitting here today, I would be much more blown away if he left than if he stayed. How do you feel about it?
Well, having the season play out the way it did and then thinking it through, okay, if he is going to transfer, guess what he's going to have to do again?
Exactly.
In his college career.
That's exactly 100% correct into my thinking. That plays a big part of the, like, he wants to put big part in this. Like, he wants to go somewhere else and learn a brand new staff and a brand new system after all of this? My answer is no way.
Not if he has aspirations for the NFL, which he does. Doesn't mean he's going to get there, but the kid has lofty goals. He wants to play on the next level. He wants to be great. He hasn't gotten to that stage, and who knows whether he will or not. But his best avenue to get to that destination is to stay in a Jim Chaney offense with T. Martin and limited changes to the offensive staff, no changes preferably, and then the offense stay the same, and he has another full off season to really get it down, to improve in his decision making and his poise in the pocket. Things like that, all the areas that he can still get better at. That, if he thinks this through, it, to me, the decision should be easy for him to stay. He's been through quarterback battles before. He's come out on both ends of it in quarterback battles before, and right now there looks like there'll be five scholarship quarterbacks. Now, you know, maybe Shrout leaves or somebody else leaves. We'll see. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt has got to kind of walk the line on this a little bit too. If he opens it up, you know, going into spring practice, say, oh, it's wide open competition, five QBs, there we go. You know, does he have to think about, well, maybe Garantano wanted to say, but he doesn't want to go through that again? I mean, who knows if the emotion overcomes what's best for him. But I would still, to me, if I had to pick a side, pick staying at Tennessee because of how big of a deal not having to work in another offense would be for a college player with NFL aspirations.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt didn't skirt that question after the game, after the bowl win. He said, I mean, I was actually surprised at how emphatic he was that Garantano would be back. And even throughout, and we'll have a quarterback battle or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember. I'm not quoting him word for word. But something to the effect of, you know, like, yeah, of course he's going to be back. And we've got a lot to work with, so we're going to have quite the battle for that position. And I was like, oh, really? I mean, this it kind of took me back how emphatic he was about it and really didn't shy away from the topic.
Well, Darren, he's been asked about the five scholarship quarterbacks for next year already. So that's one thing. So he was being consistent from that standpoint. And the other thing is that a big part of Pruitt's deal, it's like Saban, is they want competition. All right? And Jerry Garantano has had to deal with competition this year. And, well, this year in a very unique way. But he's had to deal with it before with Dormady, and then even earlier in his career when he didn't play with Josh Dobbs. So Pruitt has mentioned that he did in the post game too, that Garantano has thick skin. And look, if he truly does, he's not going to be afraid of a highly rated quarterback coming in or a transfer quarterback from Maryland that is more of a dual threat and isn't a proficient passer yet, or JT Shroud, who he's played above, or Brian Maurer, who played briefly and nearly turned the ball over and got yanked himself. He should still feel like he, as a fifth-year player, should rise above that. So you would think, even if Pruitt is playing that competition card, that he would know better and still be good with it. But man, you just never know with QBs and who's in their ears and opportunity for playing time and all this other. You just never know because there's only one guy typically that gets the ball. So you just hope that he won't have the wrong outside influence if he thinks that it's better for him to go elsewhere, like a Rutgers, which people have speculated.
Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville, the sports animal, joining us here on Darren Donick and Chase. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of stories out of the SEC. Let's start in Starkville, Mississippi State. Joe Moorhead fired last week. And, look, they had a poor showing in the Music City Bowl. They ultimately show him the door. What did you make of that news? And do you have any fits in mind?
Well, I'm not surprised that they parted ways. The straight firing is a little bit of a surprise. I mean, maybe it shows that where Mullen brought them in terms of their standards that has elevated to where they don't want to dig themselves back too much of a hole to try to come back and redo that roster. You know, a lot of people were pro Joe Moorhead coming in. And, you know, part of that is just because he's very good with the media, and maybe some of the national writers really gave him the benefit of the doubt because they liked him and he's very likable. But it just didn't work. He didn't get the quarterback position right at all, and it's hard to win without a quarterback. So I'm not surprised that they ultimately parted ways. As far as a fit there, to me, they need somebody that has some experience and not
like Hugh Freeze.
Well, I don't know about Hugh Freeze. That's kind of quick. You know, I don't know how much this morning that's being talked about, but That's awfully soon for that guy to me, if I'm Mississippi State. I don't think they're that much of a wreck for them to roll the dice. But, you know, they're probably feeling some Lane Kiffin pressure, too, from in-state. So do they feel like they need to roll the dice like Ole Miss does? And then to that name, maybe it, you know, it does go a direction like that. I think you can get a high-level group of five guy, you know, like a Will Healy might be talked about from Charlotte, who was at Austin Peay, somebody like that. I think that's a better route than a first-time head coach. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
And then, of course, the big story of today at Alabama, Tua decides that he is going to forgo his senior season. He will enter the NFL draft. I don't think that really surprises anyone. Nick Saban was there doing the press conference, and it's my understanding that whenever a junior leaves early, Nick Saban does a press conference, so that wasn't anything out of the ordinary. But I don't think you were surprised. Do you think it's a top 10 pick?
Well, not unless he gets a clean bill of health a lot earlier than what some people are projecting could be the case for his rookie year. I think he has slipped in that first round. You know, but it could very well go the other way when it gets to the last minute. You know how it is with the desire for that guy for franchise quarterback when you don't have one and you see everybody around you with one. So right now I'd say no, but gosh, in the end, with as much as those guys are overvalued at times, I would bring them up. And that's not a slide on Tua. I'm just saying with his injury history. But we talked to Dr. Jerry Ponce, who does an hour on our show each week on the afternoon
my
show.
Guy.
Yeah, he is awesome, and obviously he has a lot of experience in medical as being a doc. And, you know, he kind of said, look, you know, if this is your desire to succeed in the NFL, you know, you probably want to go when you could. And he said similar things about Trey Smith also in his NFL decision. So I think it's one where, he may not go as high in the first round, but the risk of injury in college without him ultimately being able to prove the NFL differently that he can stay healthy, I don't know if that changes. So you go in the middle of the first round and maybe you get a better situation and then it pays off for you in contract number two. You know, interestingly, a couple of guys, Tom Luganville and Greg McElroy, I heard them during their bowl game they called. They both said they thought he was coming back because he did want to prove that he could stay healthy. But so from that standpoint, maybe some people were surprised, but overall I wasn't.
You heard it here first. Not only does he not get out of the first round, let me just tell you right now, January 6th, he's going top 10.
Darren's calling it.
You can mark that down. He is going top 10. Mark it down right now. There are four teams in the top 10. Somebody's going to take Tua. I'm just telling you. 5, 6, 7, and 9. Go look at the teams. One of those teams is drafting Tua.
Well, especially when Tom Brady signs with the Chargers, they'll draft him and have him sit behind Tom Brady for a year.
No, Tom Brady's that's New England's pick is way down the front. I said he's not getting out of the top 10.
No, I said when Tom Brady goes to the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, the Chargers are one of those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they're part. They're, what are they, 7?
6.
6. Yeah, 5, 6, 7, and 9. One of those teams is taking Tua. He's not getting out of the top 10. Look, if the Titans can take Jeffrey Simmons at what, 19, 18?
Mm-hmm.
And he tore his ACL in February? This is a defensive lineman? You think a franchise quarterback is going to get out of the first round or out of the top 10 like him? I don't see it.
Nope.
Don't see it.
And typically, to your point, Darren, there when teams draft quarterbacks, if you go back, I don't have the exact numbers, but they often have to move up to get who they want, right? So in addition to the teams that are sitting there in the top 10, there's going to be some others that want to make the move or feel like they need to make the move, which will only tighten the market for those quarterbacks. So you make a good point.
Vince, good stuff as always. Safe travels back to Knoxville, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, sounds good. Hey, I picked the Titans to win at the Patriots. It's going to be a lot tougher at Baltimore, but congrats to the Titans for that big W, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, good stuff. Vince Ferrara.
I was going to ask him. I was going to ask him about the Titans, but we ran out of time, so
yep.
Got into the SEC stuff.
Good stuff by him. At Vince Swartz on Twitter, he joins us every Monday at high noon. Right now, I want to talk about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has been serving our area since 1994. They have over 18,000 satisfied residential customers. You realize that's a sellout at Bridgestone Arena. Over 18,000 satisfied residential customers. A lot of you out there listening to this are homeowners. Do you have bricks that are cracking? You have walls that are bowing? Maybe doors or windows that are sticking? Drywall that's separating? Stair step cracks in masonry mortar joints? Maybe your chimney or chimneys that are tilting or leaning? These are all signs that maybe your house is telling you something. Maybe you shouldn't just look at it and walk away. If anything, just have the good folks at USS come out there and examine the situation. You know why? Because they've got free estimates. Yeah, they're going to look at what's going on with your house and use their expertise, their integrity, use their reputation and their quality of work to help you out. Because if you do need help, these are the folks you want to lean on. Like I said, free estimates. You need to get in touch with them. They guarantee their best. Call USS. That number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you always can go to their website and learn everything you need to know about them. The website is USSTN. The Dallas Cowboys have told Jason Garrett they're not going to renew his contract.
Thought they did that last week.
It is going to expire. He is out. Been with the organization as a player, coach, head coach for almost two decades, and they've already found their new man. Mike McCarthy, longtime coach of the Packers, is the new front man for the Cowboys. Still some intriguing openings out there. I wonder where this is going.
I think I saw Matt Rhule is meeting with the Panthers, interviewing for that job. He's going to get a job. I mean,
everybody's meeting with the Panthers. Well, Ron Rivera has been hired by the Redskins.
Yep.
McCarthy now with the Cowboys. That still leaves the Giants.
Yep.
Panthers,
Browns
as openings. And surprisingly, Jacksonville does not have an opening.
I was surprised by two teams, Jacksonville and Detroit. I was a little, kind of felt like Patricia might be out, but.
Stafford being out most of the year saved him.
Well, and I thought Bob Quinn, is that his name, the GM? I thought he was out too, and they're keeping them both. So my gut tells me we're going to know what Josh McDaniels is going to do probably here in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Now, his day, if they would have beaten the Titans, would have been, I think they said Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now coordinators, which is good, is they used to make you wait till after you were done.
Yeah.
And now they can designate days while you're still playing to do interviews. I think his day was going to be Friday.
Because Bill has to grant permission for him to interview.
But now that they're done, obviously Josh McDaniels can start interviewing away.
I feel like if there were ever a time for him to make the move, it's now.
It just kind of feels like, I know, it's still... It was also crazy to think the Titans, that was a good matchup for them, that they could actually win. We felt all those things last week. We talked about all of those things, and I realized saying it out loud and it's the Patriots, it's still a little weird, but this time it really does. It feels like everything feels differently. It just does. And it feels like things, I don't want to say crumbling, it just feels like there's going
to
be mass defections, and this is kind of the end of this run. It was eventually going to come to an end, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, eventually this was going to happen. But, you know, there's just too many people thinking that Tom Brady is not coming back. people that talk to people, people that would know. And it just feels like this is the time Josh McDaniels and the guy in the front office, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. It's just time for him to leave. He's been rumored for years. I just think this is the time where there's going to be mass defections. And, oh, by the way, they've got some pretty important players, too, that are going to become free agents, and you do wonder if they'll be back.
Yeah. It's like I was saying, if there were ever a time, then this is the time. Now, one thing I brought up with Mike Reese, or Mike Reese brought up with us, I should say, on Chasing TD, is he said Tom has some unfinished business. And I was looking back at Calvin behind the glass. I'm like, what unfinished business? And he made a very good point that Tom Brady, the only reason he would want to go play somewhere else is to prove to all the doubters that he can do it without Belichick. And that would be the only thing he has left to prove. And I don't even think that is that important, because he's done it. He's won 6 Super Bowls. So I don't really know what else you need to do in your career. But if it means that much to him to go somewhere else and try and win one, and look, if he goes to the Chargers, they're not winning the Super Bowl next year. I just don't think that team is good enough to do it.
One would think that there's really no team that's got that quarterback opening that's
– yeah.
And by the way, what is the level of Tom Brady? I mean, right. If it's this year, you know,
I mean,
especially the second half of the season.
He's 43 years old.
He'll be 43 next
year. Yeah. I mean, look, he's done some amazing things. He's defied the odds, but he's 43. So eventually things are going to break down and happen. So, but I don't think he's retiring. I really don't.
I don't either. I don't think he is, but I just don't think he's coming back to the Patriots.
No, I don't either. And, you know, you have to wonder if Brady does leave. I mean, you got to have the conversation about Belichick, too. How much longer does Belichick want to do this? You know, does he want to go through a rebuild? Because essentially that's what it would be when Brady leaves. I mean, you have Jared Stidham, but do you have confidence in him that he is the quarterback of the future for New England? Do you
bring back Jacoby Brissett?
Do you have faith in Jared Stidham that he is the quarterback of the future?
No one percent.
No, that's a no. I mean, here's another crazy thing to think. I don't see this happening, but what if Brady signs with the Chargers and Phillip Rivers is like, I'm not done yet, and he signs a 1-year deal with the Patriots?
That could happen, too.
That could totally
happen. Swap quarterbacks.
That could totally happen.
Let's go to Tyron in Brentwood. Tyron, what's up?
What's up, Darren? What a weekend. I tell you, that was something the other night. I thought the Titans were the better team last week, but I didn't pick them because I didn't trust Tannehill, and I thought Brady would have one final hoorah, but Derrick Henry was a beast. Couple of takeaways. Number one, you better pay Derrick Henry at the end of the year. He is the best running back in football, period, end of story. Number two, hey, I'm not a Titans fan. I'm a Brady fan, but everybody now, including myself, because I've brought it up a few times, you know, everybody can stop talking about malarkey. Vrabel is the real deal. I thought he out-coached Belichick. I thought he undressed him. I thought he made him look like an old fart, just to be quite honest. So I think Mike Vrabel is the guy. He should get a 5-year extension no matter what happens in Baltimore this week. He is the guy going forward. End of story. And I think Henry is a beast. You need to pay him. I'm still not sold on Tannehill. I thought they won that game in spite of him. I thought in the fourth quarter he did everything to try to give it to New England with the interception, the fumble snap. So 8 of 15, 72 yards. I know the game plan was run, run, run. Good for them. 182 on 34 carries for Henry. He's the superstar of this team. But I this week in Baltimore, I think you can be competitive. I think Baltimore is not going to let Henry beat him. I think he's going to force Tannehill to beat him. And I think – I know what the numbers say. I never bought into this New England defense. I thought it was vastly overrated, and I think Baltimore has a better defense. So I think it's going to be on Tannehill this week, and I just don't have any faith that he can do it. So,
well, why don't you have faith? What would he have to do for you to have faith in him, what he's done here? Forget Miami. I'm talking about here.
I don't count Miami. I'm talking about here right here. Well, here's the thing. If the Titans had so much faith, why didn't he win the job in the offseason? Why did Mariota win the job? Why did they have to wait to week 6, week 7, whatever it was to make the move? Now, he's done good given his opportunity, but I don't think the Titans brought him in to be, you're the franchise guy. They brought him in to be a backup because the Hawaii and Tim Tebow, they knew he missed games. and he could struggle, and actually turned out he sucked. So they made the move, and he's made the most of it. But let's not kid ourselves. Derrick Henry is a superstar.
Well, what they didn't bring Derrick Henry, and they didn't give him the starter right away, too. Why'd they wait so long on Derrick Henry?
And you know, another thing, they weren't giving him the ball 25 to 30 times right away. And that was just dumb because, as you see, he is a bell cow. You give him the ball 25, 30 times, you see what he can do. He's the best running back in football. I don't care what anybody say. And I'm not a Titans fan, and I'm saying it. So I'm just saying this. I don't think Vrabel is ready to say 4 or 5 year deal, Tannehill, you the guy. They're smarter than that. I know where they come from, so I know they're smarter than that. So I'm just not sold on Tannehill yet, and I think free agents out there at the end of the year, they're going to look at them options. They're not going to just hitch their wagon to Tannehill. I don't see that at all. Unless he wins the Super Bowl or get there, then okay. Hey, we got another discussion. But I just think I'm not sold on Tannehill. I think it'll be a close, tough game in Baltimore, but I lean Baltimore, and let me say this right now. This year, this wasn't about Brady sucking. This was about a bad offense, a bad unit, and a bad roster. Wherever he goes next year, whether it's San Diego, whether it's Los Angeles, whether it's Tampa, whether it's the Titans, that's what I said, the Titans, wherever he goes, they will be Super Bowl contender. You can take that to the bank and cash it.
All right, Teron, thank you as always. I don't know what Tannehill has to do to win your trust, man. By the way, he's not going anywhere. Derrick Henry's not going anywhere. Tannehill's not going anywhere. They're both going to be back. They will get that figured out. We'll come back. Tell us what you know to close out the final or the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Yes, we want to know. I'm just telling you right now, you better load up the lines. We're not going to just give them away. If these aren't very good or we don't get much participation, we'll just throw it back in the hopper. These tickets are too good. So you better jump in there. 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see The Crew, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Nissan Stadium, June 29th. But you're going to have to participate. You're going to have to earn this. You better bring it, or you know what? We're not giving anything away. I'm just not going to give these away. So you're going to have to
bring it.
You're going to have to bring it. I'm going to say this, and I just kind of let the cat out of the bag with Vince. I feel very comfortable with Tua's decision today to he's going pro. I'll say it again. This is what I know. He is not getting out of the top 10. Okay, so you're going to we're going to have months and months of draft talk, and I know we haven't gotten to the combine. We're still in the playoffs, and all these people are going to, you know, pick apart Tua, and, you know, he'll slide up, he'll slide down, and people, you know, I wouldn't draft him in the first round and all that stuff. I'm just telling you, he's not getting out of the top 10. You heard it here first, okay?
Okay.
It's going to happen. And if he gets out of the top 10, you guys can play this audio, and you guys can laugh and make
Elijah,
fun. And that's fine. That's part of it.
Save that.
Oh, it's been saved.
Yeah, mark it. Mark it.
Tape.
But he's not getting out of the top 10. So, unfortunately, that's not happening here. They're not getting Tua unless they trade up.
Okay.
That's what I know. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. Load them up!
This is what I know. We were in Dallas last week, and as you and I were waiting to fly out, I decided, you know what? I'm going to try something that the Dallas area is known for. I'm going to go to Whataburger.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. Okay.
No. I don't know where you're going with that.
Maybe a suggestion from Charles Barkley?
Oh, yeah. No, not that. Definitely not that.
No?
So I decided to go to the Whataburger. And listen, it was good. I liked it. I'd go again. But this is what I know. It's overrated.
Mm.
A little overrated.
Wow. Strong words.
Everybody swears by it.
I've never had it. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I've never had
it. I've had the two that always get compared to each other are Whataburger and In-N-Out. And I've had both. I'm In-N-Out.
I'm a fan of In-N-Out. I'm just telling
you
that right
now. I'm
sad
we didn't go because there's one in Dallas.
I know. Oh, I know. There's several.
And I know some of the media members that went and kind of rubbed it in my face.
Elijah is just stunned by your this is what I know.
Are you?
Stunned.
I'm baffled.
Really?
Just stunned.
This is what I know. Chase is wrong.
Oh.
So Whataburger is God's gift to Earth. That's the best.
Wow. Chase is wrong a lot.
And this is one of those instances. I don't know much, but I'll throw this in there. This is what I know. Whataburger is definitely not overrated. I was this close.
It's good.
To dumping that audio. I was about to. I know it's reserved for non-FCC regulated material.
You almost dumped him?
Oh, I was so close. My hand was over by the dump button.
So that was absolute blasphemy by Chase.
It was. Yeah. Oh, man. Listen, I get kicked out of church.
We're trying to go from good to great. It's good. It's not great.
Wow. Okay.
So I'd go again, but I just wasn't blown away.
Okay. All right. Let's find out what the peeps have for
us. Double animal style. Give me that all day.
Loaded lines. Let's find out what you know. Let's start with Jerry. Jerry, what do you know?
This is what I know. Garantano should have had his cage rattled way earlier in the season, and someone needs to be disciplined for letting Kirk Cousins beat you, being the New Orleans Saints going home.
You like that? Three words, Jerry. You like that? I did actually like that video. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You've seen the viral video, right? In the Vikings locker room?
No.
You haven't seen it?
I guess I haven't. I thought you were talking about when he was at Washington.
Well, no, that's what he did. He gave the rah-rah speech and said, you know, that's what we do. We're a team. You know, what a victory. We stay together, blah, blah, blah. I got three words for you guys.
You like that?
And everything gets quiet. And this is in the locker room. He goes, you like that? And everybody just went nuts.
I love it.
Oh, that was pretty
cool.
No,
I haven't.
Yeah,
I don't know how I missed that.
Pretty cool. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, guys. Now, this is what you know. I have a long, long time loathed this organization, the ownership and the organization and the logo and the crappy stadium and the whole nine.
You mean the Titans?
You have absolutely got to tip your cap to them for the whole season and not just that one game. Ever since your quarterback change happened, they have really, really been impressive. I'm happy for the fans, you know, and it was a real pleasure watching Belichick just lose his mind with steam coming out of his ears. That was just so pleasurable for the entire nation. I think we all owe you a debt of gratitude for that.
Was that painful for you to do? How tough was that?
It was real tough, but I mean, they won out every time. Of the two, I'd rather see Mike out there just giggling. It was really, really funny. It kind of reminded me of many, many years ago. You remember it was a Christmas day and it was like 12 degrees and Troy Aikman's final days in the league. And he was sitting over there on the visitor's sideline, just sitting there with his head down. So this is like the second legendary QB y'all have finished off.
Well, he didn't play that game. He was one of the Cowboys.
He was just stunned and concussed and sitting there on the bench.
Wow.
But here's what I know. They really need to temper all of this Tannehill for MVP talk. It's garbage. He's not even the MVP.
Who's saying
of your
that?
Own
Who, Tannehill for MVP?
Oh, my internet is filled with it, guys. Starting last night, yesterday morning, there must be 5,000 people going, oh, man, what about this upcoming battle for MVP between Lamar Jackson and Tannehill?
That's
if you're
silly.
Saying that.
I got to be
you
honest. I haven't seen that anywhere. I don't know. I don't.
We must
visit different sites. Okay.
Derrick Henry has a better chance than Tannehill, and neither one of them have a chance.
That's
without question. And Derek's the MVP of your team, and tip of the cap to him. Best of luck. I'm going to actually pull for you against Baltimore. And if you can pull that off, man, you are really on your way to something special. So congratulations to the Tennessee Oilers.
He must want those tickets bad. That had to have been extremely painful for him to say all of that. Wow. He must want those tickets really bad. Doug, what do you know?
This is what I know. Saturday night, even in a Titan victory over the Patriots, taking out the GOAT, the media floods Tom Brady right there on the field with boom mics, cameras, and everything. Titans still can't get any respect. More cameras on him in a loss than us in a victory.
Yeah, Doug.
It's
come on.
Terrible.
Come on,
that's what
Doug.
I know.
Come on. Doug, I love you, man. Come on. It's Tom Brady, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore that story.
He is the story. Yes, even in a loss. Come on. Even you know that. You're smart. Come on.
Todd Archer, that covers the Cowboys, is reporting that Mike McCarthy will get a 5-year contract with Dallas.
Okay. I mean.
That's what he knows.
Yeah. Missy, what do you know?
Hey. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Here's what I know. I know that I am so happy for Mike Vrabel because before the game, we were talking about all the bad decisions he's made, quote-unquote bad decisions, playing, you know, coaching like a player. And we said, well, hopefully he just won't get into any of those situations today. where you're like going for it on fourth or whatever. And he totally did. And he came out on top by out coaching Bill Belichick. I mean, it was just, it was so, so good to watch. And the whole season he's saying, oh, I got to get better as a coach. And people are like giving him crap for it, you know, but that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, no doubt. Missy, thank you for the phone call. You can put me on that list for sure. And yeah, he deserved every bit of it because he did. He made some bad coaching decisions. And yes, he acts like a player too much, but you know what? He did do everything you just said on Saturday night, and he has gotten better throughout the course of the season. He has. You've seen him kind of grow in to the head coaching role as he's still in year two. But everything that he got on this show, and especially for me, he absolutely deserved. I don't regret it because at the time he deserved it, but he also deserves the praise today because he is, I think we are watching him change and evolve and really learn and get better. And, yeah, I think you can make the case Bill Belichick was outcoached on Saturday.
He was, and here's where I'll praise Vrabel even more because I'm with you. We both have thrown things at him of, like, what are you doing, dude? And sometimes the emotion takes over and there's too much of the player. You can tell that he's heard that, whether he listens or people are telling him, his circle, whatever, and he's growing. He's grown. He's learning from it.
Yep.
It's a slow process. Some move faster than others, but he's definitely learning from it.
Joseph, what do you know?
This is what I know. Bill Belichick, from the end of the Texans game, knew that he didn't have an answer for Derrick Henry. And his press conference the day after, I was looking at it and watching it and believed wholeheartedly that 100% he was going to cry when he got to the car.
Really? I didn't see the press conference today.
His
end of the year deal?
The Sunday morning press conference.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha.
He was just overridden with emotion, and I think he really wished he was somewhere else in the whole press conference.
All right.
I believe that and that's what I know.
That's what you know. All right, Joseph, thank you. Let's get one more in. Joe in Springfield. Joe, what do you know?
This is what I know, considering that no team who's played on Wild Card Weekend has been to the Super Bowl in the last 7 years, is the Titans haven't really accomplished anything yet. I told you guys during this segment last week that as a Patriots fan, I had no problem with them winning this game. But now, with Baltimore on Sunday, we have a couple of things in play. You know, the difference between winning on Sunday and not is, you know, just winning a playoff game, or if you win on Sunday, you've already made a deep playoff run, so to speak. On top of that, as we know, between the 2000 and 2008 season, there's no team in the league that Tennessee owes this to, because now the roles have been reversed with Baltimore being the one seed. Hopefully they'll be able to do that. And props to the Cowboys for hiring Mike McCarthy. I always wondered how that guy even stayed out there outside of coaching for the couple of years that he was gone. With his, as they'd say, like in college football, resume and body of work and all that other stuff, I mean, it's ridiculous how he didn't have a job. And you look at some of the guys in the league who do have a job. As I've told you before, as a guy who's been in Middle Tennessee for a while now, I would love to see the Titans, you know, 60 minutes away from making a deep playoff run. Only 4 out of the 32 NFL teams, you know, win a divisional playoff game. So a lot at stake here. Like I said, I think it's the difference between really making a run and not really having done anything yet. As usual, guys, love the show. Thanks so much for taking my call. Have a great
day. Thanks, Joe.
Bye. Thank you, Joe. The Rams have informed Wade Phillips he will not be back as their defensive coordinator. We will come back and head to Baltimore. Fourth and final hour next.